Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
There's a guy named Jia Jiang who grew up with a debilitating fear of rejection. As a young adult, he had dreams for his life and his career, but he would never do what he had to do because he was always afraid. Stuck and miserable, he finally went to the one who gives wisdom when we need it. He Googled, how do I overcome the fear of rejection? And he came across an idea called rejection therapy. Basically, you intentionally get rejected every day, once a day, and eventually you'll be desensitized from the pain of it, no more fear. Jia decided, what's the worst that could happen? And so he came up with 100 ideas he knew would receive rejection. Day one, ask a stranger for $100. He went up, he asked the guy, but before he could respond, he was so afraid, he literally turned and ran away. Day two, request a burger refill. So he ate his burger, and then he went up and asked the guy at the counter, could you refill my burger? The guy said, what? Jesus said, I ate my burger. I was wondering if I could get a refill for another one. And the guy laughed. He said, I don't think we do that. So Gia was rejected, but he realized it didn't feel so bad. Day three, get Olympic donuts. He went to a Krispy Kreme. He asked them to interlink 5 donuts and make them the colors of the Olympic rings. He knew that they would say no, except they said yes. From that day on, Gia kept asking, kept seeking rejection, and kept getting yeses. He asked to plant a flower in a stranger's backyard. He got a yes. He asked a professor if he could teach his class. He got a yes. He asked if he could be the Walmart greeter at a Starbucks. Got a yes. Give a live weather forecast on TV. Yes. Sit in the driver's seat of a police car. Yes. Make his own sandwich at Subway. Yes. He got a yes for every single thing he asked, and he overcame his fear of rejection. He realized that sometimes all you have to do is just ask. Have you ever been scared of rejection? Maybe you were about to propose marriage, or you were going to apply for your dream job. I know that I have feared rejection, like growing up in middle school, asking Sarah Peterson if she would go out with me. In high school, trying out for the all-county, all-star baseball team. What if I get rejected? And then as an adult, when I realized that God was leading me to Las Vegas to start this church. You may not realize this, but it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to start a church, especially if you're going to start with a building like this. And so I knew I was going to have to ask everyone for money, like every church I could, every person I had ever met. I was going to have to ask them all for money, and I didn't want to. I expected people to say no, but I had the same experience as Jia Jiang. There were a few no's, but almost all yeses. That was 10 years ago. In the last year or so, we've realized that, man, we need to do some renovations to this building. To be more effective, we need to update some things, move a couple rooms. We need to add some seating in this room, add another kids' room. So we got an architect, and we have a great plan, but it's going to take about $90,000, which means asking for money again. 2 weeks ago, we announced our Vision 2020 No Barriers initiative, that we're going to try to take away the barriers that we have to more people coming and meeting Jesus here. And we ask you to give towards that above what you would normally give to Verve. And I don't like that. We don't like to talk about money too much because we know the stereotype is that all churches are always talking about money. That's not us. The only thing we always do is at the end of every service, we say, hey, if you're new, we're asking you not to give. But, so we're nervous, but we asked. We asked you to pray and to ask God what he wants to do through you for Vision 2020. We encourage you to take one of these envelopes, and we've got them back there today again, and they have different amounts of money on the outside, and just to pray, God, is the amount of money that you want me to give on this envelope? And if you do decide to give, you don't have to give through the envelope. You can give online on the Verve app and the Verve website. There's a, in the giving options, it now says Vision 2020. You can give towards that. And so we said, hey, if you have the capacity to maybe give a bigger gift, would you pray about maybe giving a bigger gift? And would everyone pray about giving? Because our goal is 100% participation. We want everyone who calls Verve their church to be a part of this. And so if Verve is your church, I asked you to be a part of this. And I'm going to be honest, a little scared of rejection again, like from you. But, man, there's been some really, really cool stories. So, like, one single dad, his kids, around 20 years old, went home after hearing about Vision 2020, and the kid, not the dad, the kid said, hey, how much do we normally spend on Christmas? Let's spend 10% on gifts that we would normally spend, and let's give the other 90% to Vision 2020. And how much do we spend eating out? Let's not eat out for the rest of the year and give all the money we would have spent eating out to Vision 2020. Like, how cool is that for a kid to say, can I get a lot less gifts this year for Christmas? And as of today, we have raised $61,000 of the $90,000 we need, which means we only have $29,000 left, which is really cool. And it makes me realize, again, sometimes you need to just ask. So last week, we started this brand new teaching series called Just Ask. And we are digging into a story in the Bible where we see these four guys digging through a roof. The series is all about living an invitational life, that when you experience God's love and life with Jesus, it's amazing. And so you invite other people to experience it too. Last week, we talked about having the right heart, that when you have a heart for God, when you love God, man, you realize that we are all his children, that God loves all of his children, and if any of his kids are far from him, he wants them back. And so you want them back for him. And when you have a heart for people, when you love people, you realize that we all need God. We were made for life with him, and you want to help people who are far from him to know him and experience his love and have life with him. That's why the mission Jesus gave us is to share God's love. Jesus says, for his followers, that is the key thing. The number one priority for every Christian is to help people know that God is inviting them into a life-changing relationship with him. People don't realize that. And so we need to let them know that God is inviting them. And to let them know, we need to invite them. So last week we talked about having the right heart. Today, the right strategy. Let's get back into the story that we're studying. So context, Jesus had just entered into a town called Capernaum. He had been teaching and healing people all over. He's getting more and more popular. In fact, everywhere he went, swarms of people would gather. They wanted to be around him. They wanted to listen to his teaching. They wanted to be healed and touched by him. In Capernaum, there's a guy who is paralyzed. He can't use his legs. But he has these four friends who have the right heart. They love him. And they have heard about Jesus, and so they know they have to get their friend to Jesus. Let's read the story again, Luke chapter 5. We're going to read the whole story this week, starting in verse 17. I'll put it on the screen for you. We also give out free Bibles. If you need a Bible at home, please take one. Luke 5 says, one day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They were the religious leaders. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man, that's what he called himself a lot, has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. So this guy was paralyzed. And more context, back then, the way people thought, unfortunately, is that if a person was handicapped, God was not for them. And you should not be friends with them. In fact, here's how bad it was. Back then, the philosopher Aristotle, you probably remember him from school, he once said, let there be a law that no deformed child be allowed to be raised to adulthood. And there actually was that law. In Rome in the 5th century, there was a statute on the books that read, quickly kill a deformed child. But despite that, this guy had some amazing friends. Some friends who knew, despite what other people might have thought, God was for him. And if you put yourself in the sandals of these friends, you see an opportunity to change your friend's life by getting your friend to Jesus. And these friends are willing to do whatever it takes to get their buddy to Jesus. So they carry him to the place where Jesus is teaching, and when they get there, they find that the house is completely packed out. There's people around it. They can't get in. They have to be so frustrated. And I imagine the guy in the group who was like the natural leader probably said, okay, guys, we have to figure out a way to get our friend in there to see Jesus. And so let's brainstorm. And remember, when you're brainstorming, there is no such thing as a bad idea. So they all stand around for a minute. And then one of them, the one usually considered not the brightest guy in the room, he said, whoa, dudes, like I've got an idea. Like what if like we got him like up there, and then like we made a hole, and we lowered him to bro. Like that would be awesome. And the leader of the group said, "Any other ideas? Do we have anything else?" But that's the only idea, apparently. That's the best idea they have, and they realize it's an unorthodox way to enter a house. But it seems to be all they can come up with, and they know that they have to get their friend to Jesus. And so these guys climb up on the roof, and they get to work. I want you to picture for a minute that you're in the house, okay? You're sitting there. You're seeing Jesus teaching. You've been listening. And suddenly, like, some pieces of dust seem to fall. You don't really think much, just dust. But then, like, a piece of something falls and it hits the ground, and so you look up and you realize, oh, there's a crack in the ceiling, and you keep looking up, and then you realize that there's fingers coming through the crack in the ceiling, and pretty soon there's a hole in the ceiling, and then you see faces. You see like several smiling faces and one very nervous face, which belongs to a man who is laying there on a mat, and soon the hole's big enough that they lower him down, and just like they suspected, getting their friend to Jesus completely changes his life. Like, he leaves that house by walking out of the room. And he walks out with his sins forgiven. Which is more important, right? And the friends and probably the guy thought his main issue was physical. But Jesus makes it clear, no, the big issue isn't that you need your legs restored, it's that you need your sins forgiven. And it's not that Jesus wasn't compassionate about the man's physical handicap. He was, and he very compassionately heals his physical suffering. But if you're truly compassionate, then you care about people's deepest problems. And every person's deepest problem is their sin. See, God has a life for us. He has a plan for us, and it's to love him and to love people. We sin whenever we go against God's plan. When we have attitudes or we take actions that are selfish or that hurt other people or hurt God's heart, that's sin. And sin separates us not only from the life that God has for us, but also from God. Like now and for all eternity. That's why it's our deepest problem. And that's why it's our friend's deepest problem. It's why we need to make sure we get all of our friends to Jesus. And that's why the first problem Jesus addresses with this man was his sin and then his physical suffering. So you're there in the house. You just saw this happen. You see Jesus teaching, right? You see this man lowered through the roof. You see him walk out. What the friends saw was an opportunity, right? Like they saw an opportunity to get their friend to Jesus and have him be healed. I love, my favorite thing I think in the story is what we're told Jesus saw. Did you notice? Verse 20, put it back up. It says, Jesus saw their faith. Fascinating. Whose faith did Jesus see? The friends, right? The friends. How did Jesus see their faith? Well, he saw it through the fact that they were willing to do whatever they had to do to get their buddy to Jesus. So a verse in the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. What an awesome God we have, right? He says, here's what really matters in life. Faith expressing itself through love. And that's exactly what Jesus saw. Faith expressing itself through love. Because if you love someone, you're going to do whatever you have to do to get that person to Jesus. And that's exactly what these guys did. It's interesting. These four guys could not have had faith for very long. Jesus had just pretty recently started telling the world who he was, that he was God's son, he was the savior of the world. He was proving it to people, but not for very long. And so these guys' faith is pretty new. They don't know everything, but they know enough. They know who Jesus is, and they know they have to get their friend to Jesus. And you don't have to know everything. If you have faith in Jesus, even if your faith is still pretty new, you know who Jesus is, and you know that you have to get your friends to Jesus. The friend's faith was probably new and probably not very deep. And the paralyzed man, he probably didn't have much faith. We don't know if he had any faith at all. And so he needed other people's faith to bring him to Jesus. And sometimes we have to have faith for our friends who don't have faith yet. Like it's our faith that causes us to invite them, and that invitation can lead them to faith. And like, how cool is that, right? Like think about it. So you have friends, and you have neighbors and coworkers, maybe family members, who might just be paralyzed in life. Like, they may not have faith that their life can change, that it can ever be any better, that they can heal from their hurts, that God can love them despite the mistakes they've made. But we can have faith for our friends until they have faith. And if we do have faith, faith always leads you to take action. If we have faith, we will do whatever it takes to get our friends to Jesus. It actually kind of reminds me of Darren's story. You may know Darren. He's been coming to Verve for years, but you may not know how Darren first came to Verve. He came because a friend invited him. And then Darren became an inviter. And I thought it'd be cool for you guys to hear the story from Darren. And so here's his story.
Hi, I'm Darren. I've been living in Vegas for about 11 years. And when I moved here, I didn't really know anyone. And about 9 years ago, Mike Rayburn and Tara Rayburn, their family, moved here to town. And when they moved here, They didn't know anyone in town either, so I had known of Mike from my industry, and I reached out to him because I knew of Mike. He's a legend in my world, but I didn't know who he was as a person. And so I just reached out to him, said hello, hey, you got a friend here in Vegas. Around Christmas time, he and Tara invited me over to help trim the tree. And so I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I missed that with my family. I went over there and Mike answered the door in a red onesie. I can't unsee that. But it made him real, you know, it brought him back down to be a human being. And it was really cool getting to know him and his family. And both Tara and Mike individually invited me to Verve. And Mike was saying, you know, I play guitar at this church. And guitar at a church? I mean, I grew up in a Catholic church, organ church, not guitar church. Like, it didn't make any sense to me, but I got to know them and I trusted them. So I thought, all right, I'll go support you and check it out. And for the first time walking in a church, I felt non-judgment, that they loved me when I walked in the door. And that was a cool feeling. And then I heard the band, and wow, they sounded really good. I could get used to this kind of music. I came back a second week and then a third week, and I started realizing this was a special place. And then Vince invited me to be in his Verve group, and I thought, whoa, 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 wait a minute, slow down. In fact, I remember him being so stubborn. I thought, all right, I'll go to two meetings, but that's it, two. And I went to a first and a second and a third, and wow, they like became my family. I was feeling something different than I had ever felt before, learning about God wants this relationship with me. I didn't know how bad off I was. And I had lived this legalistic life that if I just did the right things, you know, I would get more God points. Then I started realizing that I could never be good enough. And it was more about the relationship to God. And back in 2014, I fully committed. I got baptized right here at Verve. And this is my family. Like, I'm so thankful that Mike and Tara both asked me. They had no idea what was going to happen as a result of that simple asking. They just took the time to ask.
I love that. Darren's friends had faith for Darren. That faith led them to take action, to do whatever it took to get Darren to Jesus. Now, Darren has faith, and you may not know this, but Darren is actively inviting his friends to come here to Verve, and we need to do that too, because for people to know that God is inviting them, we need to invite them. So, what's the right strategy in doing that? We want right heart, right strategy, right place. What's the right strategy? First, lead with love. Lead with love. The best way to help people get close to God is to lead with love. So you want to build a relationship first. You don't meet someone and immediately, so how about Jesus? What about this? You know, like we're not talking about talking to strangers. We're talking about people you're friends with who you have already shown love to. Why? Because seeing God's love in you will help make them more open to God's love. Second, be persistent. Be persistent. I love that about the friends in the story in the Bible. They did not let obstacles discourage them. The house was too crowded. There wasn't enough room. There was no way in. But these men loved their friend enough that no obstacle was going to stop them. They were persistent. And we need to be persistent as well. In this series, we're talking about the power of invitation, about inviting our friends to Verve so they can meet Jesus and find faith in him here, and we need to be persistent with that. Why? Because one invite doesn't typically do it. There's been all kinds of studies and research that prove that typically it takes 5 or 6 or 7 invites before a person will say yes and actually show up. You might think that's weird. Like, why would it take 5 or 6? Like, if they want to come, you invite them once, wouldn't they come? That's not how it works. It's not how it works with anything. So on Madison Avenue, they call this 6 to stick. 6 to stick. The idea is that usually you need to see a commercial 6 times before you will respond to it. Speaking of commercials, have you seen the stupid Peloton commercial yet for the Peloton exercise bike? Have you seen this thing? So, like, it's just, if you haven't seen it, it's a bike with a video screen, and you get to pay a lot extra for the video screen. I don't need to pay extra for a video screen. My phone is a video screen. But in the commercial, there's this guy, and he gives his already very skinny wife a Peloton exercise bike, basically saying to her, you still need to lose a few pounds. And for some reason, she is really scared to have an exercise bike. She's intimidated. She's like, I don't know if I can do this. She's nervous, but she starts riding it every day. And she actually keeps a video diary chronicling her year of riding her Peloton bike. And next Christmas, she gives her husband the video showing him how the bike has changed her life. The first time you see this commercial, you're like, this is dumb. The sixth time you see it, you're like, maybe I should get one of these Peloton bikes. They look pretty good. Maybe my wife needs to lose a few pounds. I don't know, right? It usually takes six to stick. You keep hearing something, you start like, yes. And so lead with love and then invite your friend to come to church with you, if necessary, six times. You can do that. You can do that. And by the way, the invitation doesn't have to be weird. Sometimes very normal people, when they start talking about church or talking about God, they get weird. So you don't have to say, hi, friend. I was noticing that you're a sinner. And so I thought maybe you should join me this Sunday and we could just take care of that sin problem. Shall we? No. It doesn't have to be weird, okay? It can just be like normal conversation. So you're at work. It's a Thursday, it's a Friday. You say to your coworker, hey, what are you doing this weekend? They say, oh, I'm watching the game, I'm going to, where you listen. And then you say, hey, I go to church every Sunday, and I think you'd actually like it. It's church for people who don't like church. You want to come and check it out with me sometime? Maybe we could do lunch after or something? Normal, right? Normal. Or you're out, and you're getting your mail, and your neighbor's out too, and you go, this is my chance. And it's not weird. You say, hey, I don't know if you'd be interested, but I go to this church, it's pretty cool, and we're starting this new teaching series on, and I'm kind of excited to learn about that. Would you want to come and learn about that? And right now is the perfect time to invite someone because, and again, there's all kinds of research about this, most people who don't go to church say, I am open to going to church, and I would go if someone would invite me. But even people who are not open to going to church usually are at Christmas time. So, perfect time. Let's get all of our friends and neighbors and coworkers here for Christmas. We have an invite card that we made for you. On your way out, there's going to be people handing them out. Grab three or four of these and give them out to people. So, strategy. First, lead with love. Second, be persistent. And third, be innovative. So the friends in the story thought they were just going to carry their buddy to Jesus and it's going to be easy. Nope, it turns out that it was harder than that. But they didn't give up. They found another way. And if the easy way isn't working for you, find another way. Be innovative. If they don't come at your first invite, be innovative. Make your second invite sound different. Maybe the first time you said, hey, you want to check out my church? Church people like church. They didn't come. So the second time you say, hey, we're doing this new series. It's going to be called Hot Mess. That's the series we're starting in January. And you say, you should come because you're a hot mess. And like, I'm a hot mess. We're hot. Come on. Or you say, hey, I was thinking, my kids, I don't know if you went to church growing up. I did. I hated going to church. My kids love going to my church. And like, it's so cool having kids who grow up like knowing that God loves them. It's just awesome for us. Do you want to come and maybe see if your kids like it? Be innovative. It's why, if you're wondering, like, why does Verve on Christmas, all of our Christmas services, why do we have a petting zoo? There's going to be a camel out there and a donkey out there and sheep out there and free pictures with Santa. Why do we have free pictures with Santa and a petting zoo? It's so you can be innovative with your invite. That's the whole reason. So somebody who you're like, I don't think they want to go to church, you can be like, there's a petting zoo. Or they're like, I don't want to go to church. They're going to pay $30 for a picture with Santa at the mall. It's like, you can get a free picture with Santa at our church. Like, just come and check it out. Be innovative. If they don't come because of your invite to church, maybe invite them to lunch. eating together grows a relationship, and then find another chance to invite them to church. Be innovative. My wife and I have been going to a trivia night at a bar, not because we like trivia nights and not because we like bars. We don't even drink. We're doing it because we meet people there who we can invite to church. Be innovative. So there's a guy who came a while back to Verve. He was a total, like, hardcore, angry atheist. Hated Christians, hated church. He came to Verve because a friend invited him. That's why most people come. And he actually came to faith at Verve. And he wanted all of his friends to come and to meet Jesus here. But all of his friends were atheists, and none of them wanted to come. He invited them again. They wouldn't come. Then he came up with an idea. One year, his birthday was coming up, and it happened to fall on a Monday. And so, with permission, he invited all of his friends to a birthday party at Verve that started 1 minute after the Verve Monday night service ended. And he said to them, if you want to give me a present, the present I want is come an hour early for my birthday party and just check out this church service. Just go to it. 34 of his friends came to the church service that Monday night. Some of them came back. Two of them kept coming back, came to faith at Verve, all because of an innovative invitation. If the easy way isn't working, find another way, right? If we love God and love our friends, we're going to find another way. Be innovative. Listen, when you experience God's love, life with Jesus, it's amazing. And you just want everyone else to experience it too. You want people to know that God is inviting them. And so you need to invite them. They may not have faith, but you have faith for them. You overcome the fear of rejection, you lead with love, you're persistent, like willing to do whatever it takes. If necessary, you're innovative, and you just ask. Just ask. Let's invite our friends so they can know that God is inviting them.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's right.